No, no, none of that, no, 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 we're gonna say $5,000.
Yeah, definitely, no, Zipper should not be gone.
And the city of Worcester, she had this German children's choir, a little Christian choir. You might wanna invite the German ambassador in case.
Sure. Right. Well, you can't, see, the reason you can't extend that is because a lot of others you've got to extend to too, because.
Oh, yeah, we got it.
I went over that list with Bob, please decide. Who the hell is he having, maybe he shouldn't have the assistance either, but he insists on having that, so.
Well.
I frankly wouldn't have any either, I think that's best.
No, but if you have four, two examples are conspicuous, so.
So you have what?
I said, if you have four, which you have now, Timmons absence is conspicuous, so.
Why is he in assistance at present?
Timmons, yes, sir.
Who do we have? Which four do we have?
Flanagan, Timmons, Alden, Irwin, Jesse.
Those are. Now, wait, have you invited him yet?
No, they haven't invited him.
Nobody's been invited. Nobody's been invited yet.
The cabinet members.
Has Flanagan been invited or sent to others?
I can't get them.
We can keep him off. Alden, Irwin.
Jesse, that's right.
Three.
Yeah, if you do that, fine. I think you could have the four.
If you invite Flanagan, you've got the problem with Timmons, yeah.
Should I carry him through?
Yeah, I'll check. You talk with all of them, and I'm concerned about having more than that. It's either gotta be three, or I'm afraid he's gotta add both Zipper and Timmons to the damn thing. And I don't know what the hell he does with the arm price.
That's the problem, man. Zipper's really in another category.
Sure.
I'll take it.
But you see what I mean?
I do, I see.
I frankly think he should have the three, I don't think he should have Flanagan. I mean, I just think you just got to keep right down to the, because if you get Flanagan, then I think you're down to the Timmons problem.
He can do it, not Timmons.
But I don't see if he's invited, and then let me know, huh?
Yes, sir, I will.
Okay. Now, that's interesting, John, he's got a lot of information to use.
Yeah, that's a good solid.
Solid person to do for people.
Group, yes.
Now, see, if you all wanna know what's happening in Vietnam, you can only tell them the truth, and they don't believe it.
No, I had told them almost precisely what you told them, and they asked me that in the cabinet room.
Sure.
So Breen called and stated that he had had a report from Hanoi. Hanoi claims that it's Kissinger who had transferred, and that there were many issues unresolved, and that Kissinger had told them that there was so much to be done that it may run till the end of December if we don't get moving. This seemed to bother the hell out of the North Vietnamese, because the Breen made a special point of it. He said, of course, now they've taken that out of context. He said, I don't know how they're quoting.
Well, it bothered there.
That Henry gave them the impression that we didn't give a damn whether it took between now and the end of December or what to get this thing finished.
Correct.
So I got the impression that they feel a time constraint.
We're not going to wait until the end of Christmas enough to do the
bomb. No, well.
That's the whole point.
No, we can't do that. And if the talks break off or recess, I think we've got to pick it up. We've got to really put the heat on them. On the other hand, he also said that they not only disagreed on the DMZ, they disagreed on the political prisoners, that Henry had given them an assurance which he was now not giving them. That's pure baloney.
That's not true.
No, it's not true. And I went through this with the Breen. I said, look, very frankly, because I sat in there, I know what their tactics have been. they no sooner get a concession from us on an old issue like ATC or our civilians, they pocket our concession and then reopen the issue again to get another one. I said, on Saturday, we were on the verge of settlement with only the issue that I told you, and that was reiterated categorically by Legutko. And I said, quite simply, now to have this kind of a report is indicative of some very fundamental misstatements of how this thing is developing. He said, well, we are using our good office. But Mr. Brezhnev is very, very anxious to get this thing settled. And he said he was especially impressed that the president called me personally about it. And he does intend to follow up. He has already exerted pressure. And he would hope that we would keep him specifically abreast. So I've sent a message to Henry telling him to keep talking, give us something finite to give the Soviets, which would look responsive to Sabrina's request and constructive from our point of view. I gather things must have unraveled in Monday's session, and Henry was so upset about it that he wasn't very specific about the issue, just the atmosphere and the overall attitude. At least they're working on it. I think they do in the context of we know each other's positions.
Did they give, for example, in Shanghai? Did they give an assault? I guess they did.
Well, I think they did, yes.
They played it very tough, and then they gave.
Played it tough, and then... Well, by give, I mean, I don't think collapse. They're not going to collapse. They'll agree to compromise instead of being totally intransigent. There can be no moral or any other consideration with respect to this guy from now on. We've got to play this on pure self-interest, totally.
Well, the whole point is that his interests are different from ours.
That's right.
His interests are total, unconditional surrender to the enemy. Ours are an honorable withdrawal, giving them an opportunity over a period of time to win politically.
Well, if there's anything short of that, it's not for the hand of... the seeds of stability. It's going to have the seeds of more conflict if he insists on total surrender. He's not going to get it. He hadn't earned it. He hadn't won it on the battlefield. I think Henry would do that. You know, we discussed this rather cold-bloodedly before I left, and it was if we can't get this last EMG thing, we'll pay. They're not even giving us that option because they keep opening up new things. And it's just, you know, more jazz. And the difficulty with ever showing them a willingness to compromise is that the bastards immediately exploit it. And then the next thing you know, you are in an untenable position. That's...
Well, your view of the present time is probably going to break off today and do that, etc.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think today will probably be another frustrating session, but softer than Monday's. And we will feel that we've got some progress. Say that he's gotten some progress, may not be, and that he'll want to stay on tomorrow and have another round, and then I think there's a good chance of settlement tomorrow. I think it will settle.
I'm totally relaxed. I figure about the thing now. I know it's going to be all hell of a day.
smart bombs. That old person. Got to take out the power plant in Illinois, which you've never touched.
Well, they really never touched that.
Okay. And the transshipment point, the big rate.
Yeah, they showed me that. They showed me that.
Got to take that out.
Do it with those too.
That's right. That one we can just clean out. And there'll be some slop over casualties. God damn it. So be it. So be it. That gets their attention.
That gets their attention.
We'll have to take out Radio Hanoi because that's a real command and control problem.
Sure.
We've got some other targets in the outskirts of Hanoi. Rail rebuild shops, maintenance shops. Just got to take them out. There'll be some slop over there.
I just want to be sure that those 52s go every goddamn night.
That's what they do. And they can hit the airfield.
And incidentally, I feel we should go in and take out every airfield in Vietnam. They only have five, I think.
They're five, and they're about three. If they keep briefing.
Why not just take them all out? Like the Israelis took out the Egyptian airfields. Why not? Are we afraid because there's some Russian?
No. No, it's not. It's just not a productive target normally because
the
airfield is back.
The hell with it being productive. Just take them out.
We can take them out.
Oh, no, that's symbolism. Their airfield's out.
I think it'd be good to take the military side of that civilian field.
Just take it out.
It's a hell of an aggression.
That's right. And just say, where the hell they going to land?
Then we got some very good targets up in that buffer zone with China, and we got to cut that down. I cut it down to 5 miles.
I can't see why you think, though, that there's any reason for optimism in this. South, frankly, with the South making that silly statement, if you were in the North, why wouldn't you say, Christ? Just stick to it. They're South, not going to create anything anyway. So, how do you respond?
Well, let's start out with the basic assumption that they're hurt and that they want to settle. That I believe.
Even despite the fact we have this bombing, we still get very
interesting.
The mining's got to hurt some, guys.
That's
why we did it.
So I believe that. Secondly, I believe that they do know. I don't think they read us the same way we read ourselves. We know we've got some pressures working on us. They can't be sure of those pressures. They've misjudged you every time. And I think you had them on edge with respect to what you'll do. At the same time, I think they do feel that they can work time to their advantage with us, up to a point. They get to a point now in January where they've got to commit themselves to a strategy in the South which is conventional and much the same as it's been, not break their units up the way they're doing it, getting ready for a ceasefire, where they become more vulnerable if the war continues. The war continues, they have themselves all configured for a ceasefire. They're quite vulnerable to choose counteraction. And it could erode that whole structure. The very fact that they moved, they've instructed their cannons, they're going to a ceasefire, that's the momentum is all in that direction. I think it's going to be hard for them to pull away from the South. I don't take any comfort from what they're telling the people because the bastards are going to conduct a pretty tough struggle.
What's Chu doing?
Chu is Kennedy, yes. He's,
what is he doing about this? Why is he making this kind of speech?
Because I think he's just, in his manner and style, is deathly afraid of entering into a political contest.
So, when we make a deal with him,
ultimately, he'll come around, but he's going to be portrayed as being forced into it so that he can always keep the sympathy of the people. And at the tough sequence of events that follow, he can say, well, this is the best I could do. Maybe we've got to suffer through it together. Rather than to have been accused of being naive and gone into something which
I would not, however, the only thing I would say, I haven't read the speech, because I think speeches made before Congress have much less real meaning than others do. I think you've got to figure that this speech is made
received with almost total silence in the house. Got no applause, he got no reaction.
Very. It may well be that he had a little problem in his hands, too.
And there are plenty of guys standing in the wings that have already told us they'd be delighted to accept this settlement.